He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the midweek. It is the Wednesday live edition on 2-2-22. Barry, you playing the lottery today? You going to get any scratchers or...
I won my bet, my Groundhog's Day bet with the kids that, we're going to have six more weeks of winning, six more weeks of winter. Well, Punxsutawney Phil.
Well, 2-2-22. Those two right, is definitely your number today.
That's right.
And the NASDAQ is up 222. No, I'm just kidding. The NASDAQ is up 110. I was expecting more than that. You know, I've looked at a bunch of stocks here. So far this morning, and I hate to tell you, but I'm not real impressed by this move in the NASDAQ. Despite, you know, the earnings beats by AMD and Google overnight, PayPal, on the other hand, is getting crushed today. So it's a mixed bag. It really is. The Dow's up 83 cents. How about that for excitement? It's at 35,405 right now. That NASDAQ is at 14,458. The Russell 2K, the small cap's not doing well at all today. They're down 0.75%. Crude oil, the stocks are kind of taking the day off. They were the chart of the day yesterday. That sector was just unbelievable. Crude is at 88.33. Gold is up 50 cents at 18.02. Silver is at 22.53. Now, the 10-year has definitely quieted down, and I think that's given a little bit of maybe a false sense of confidence in the higher PE stuff, but I see that ARC is down 2.7% today. The 10-year's at 1.77, and where's Bitcoin today? Bitcoin was up a little bit. Bitcoin is down 600 to 37,728. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. I think the title of today's show, Barry, is Never a Dull Moment, right?
It's been quite a January. I was kind of going back and looking at a few things, and it's a January for the history books, I think. When you look at some of the inflation numbers, right, historic from that standpoint, you had, you know, at least at one point, I didn't see if it finished up that way, but, you know, at some point the NASDAQ was having the worst, you know, January ever. And then, of course, you know, early February, I looked at the, you know, ECB this morning, and they have an inflation print of 5.1%, I believe. And so,
wow.
Staggering
active
numbers. Yeah, staggering numbers and just a lot of firsts.
Very active market. It's not passive by any means. Well, you know what? There is a bear market out there. I stick by my guns there. You saw a rally in SpecTech on Friday and Monday and today and a little bit yesterday. Today you're seeing them head right back down again. And I think maybe this pause in the rise in interest rates has given a little bit of some false hope that there's still hope for some of the spec techs and the long-duration stocks. But what happens when interest rates start rising again? I just don't see what's going to hold them back. You know, where are we going to be at the end of the year on the 10-year? There's your big question. And even though we're at 1.78 right now, we're only up 27 basis points since the beginning of the year. It's just hard for me to imagine them not going up, especially with the Fed hiking that short-term rate. But we shall see. The Dow's back above its 200-day moving average. That's healthy. Yesterday, the oil and gas stocks were on fire. The S&P 500 is back above its 200-day moving average. That's healthy. I mean, it's not as healthy as hitting new highs, but at least for now, it doesn't look like we're going to have a huge breakdown in either the S&P 500 or the Dow. And, of course, you got a lot of lower PE stocks that reside in those two indexes. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, it's below its 200-day moving average. And, you know, I mean, you could have a death cross in a few weeks if something doesn't happen. A death cross is when that 50-day crosses over and below the 200-day, and it's definitely headed in that direction right now. So we shall see what we shall see, but I'm sticking with my theme for 2022. My theme last year was to get out of the the spec techs. That was February of last year, a year ago. And my theme this year is kind of, I guess, twofold, Barry. I kind of favor high relative strength stocks, okay? I've always liked high relative strength stocks, but low PE, okay? In 2019, it was high relative strength, and forget it, the PE be damned, you know? It didn't matter what the PE ratio.
What didn't matter.
Yeah. No, that all ended a year ago when that first shot was fired across the bow and interest rates started heading up. The NASDAQ, as long as it stays above 13,000, it's okay. But it's just not the healthiest chart around. And even despite the two big days in spec tech, let's look at the proxy for that sector. She's getting further and further in the red today. ARK Funds is down 2.36% right now. And her fintech is down 3.1%, and her genomics fund is down 3%. So there's your spec tech and how it's doing today.
Yeah, and I think we got to look at probabilities, right? It's what's the downside potential, right, versus that upside gain, right, at this point? And you know, I think and we've kind of positioned the portfolio certainly with a good bit more defense on the field, and I just think, you know, at least until we get a little bit more information as we move along, right, through this year, that, you know, protecting you've got many more downside risks, at least at this point, right, than upside tailwinds. And
yeah,
you take Russia, for example, who, you know, you keep hearing things about potentially China after the Olympics, right? What are they, you know, how's that going to work out? So you've got a lot of geopolitical issues on top of just, you know, coming out of Omicron, coming out of how to navigate, right, this inflation. So there's a lot of, as we say, there's a lot of balls in the air.
Maybe the newsletter should be labeled the Feds and the Reds this week.
I like
that's
it.
Where,
that's
but anyways, you always have to look at the risk to reward ratio.
Right.
Heck, I'm as greedy as anybody out there. I want to go I want to put my foot on the accelerator anytime I get a chance, like we did there in 2019. But I just don't feel like having my foot on the accelerator right now. We have a massive shift going on with the Fed. And Joe Biden said it himself yesterday, or maybe Monday. He said if Russia invades Ukraine, that's a game changer for the world. So anyways, we continue to watch that. Now, the reports last night, there were two stellar reports, okay? Google, which doesn't really surprise me. I mean, people still have to advertise, and they have a real monopoly on that. We'll see how Facebook does when they report tonight. And it doesn't surprise me that AMD, you know, they've beat, how many times in a row have they beat their earnings estimates? Quite a few.
They've got quite a record, just put it that way.
But my issue is, and AMD's giving up a lot of its gains here, AMD has a PE ratio of 42 right now. And I think that's above my safety line. I just don't feel comfortable with PE ratios, the NVIDIAs of the world and the AMDs of the world. What's the risk-to-reward ratio? Is AMD, what's the chances that AMD gets back to its all-time high of 165? Man, it has all kinds of overhead resistance to fight through technically. I see it giving up the ghost right now after this big jump out of the gate this morning, which includes a lot of short covering, by the way. I don't see that as a very good chart on AMD. Well, I personally see more downside than there is upside right now, technically.
And it's it's a classic example. It's a company that we love. It's a company we've owned a lot. It's a company that we've written, tons of handful of articles over the years about. We know it very well.
Yeah.
Believe in the CEO, right? Yep. And of course that semiconductor industry with the supply demand mismatch is a great one to be in. But it's just currently we just I think from as a stock investment it just doesn't fit the bill at the moment.
It's the wrong place at the wrong
pun intended there.
No. Okay, we'll be right back talking about some others here in the news and the stock of the day from yesterday. I definitely want to mention that. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The stock of the day yesterday for me was ExxonMobil. of all the stocks, XOM, they reported their earnings, and that is a beautiful chart. Okay, now here's that. I'm going to give you a 1-2 punch here for 2022. I like the combination of high relative strength, meaning the stock is outperforming the other stocks in the market by a wide margin. It's in the upper, at least in the upper decile, let's call it. We want a 90 relative strength, maybe 85 or better. And we want low PE ratios. I'm just going to say sub 15, maybe sub 15, under 15. Now, I'm not saying that's a hard and fast rule, but I just think that's kind of a general guideline to live by in a rising interest rate environment. It's an environment that favors value stocks versus growth stocks. And that could be a very important factor in your 401ks. Most 401ks, I had a talk with the dentist who was just starting out his career. I watched him go through school here. He was a friend of my son-in-law, and now he's got a job in a dental office. He says, Bill, I'm starting out on my 401k. I said, I'm going to send you my newsletter every week, and I want you to look at that because this is a market that favors your value mutual funds as opposed to your growth mutual funds because by nature – growth funds, growth stocks have higher PE ratios than value stocks and value funds. And by nature, in the value funds, Barry, you're going to find a lot of financials, you're going to find a lot of energy, cyclicals, industrials. They have lower PE ratios, right? And that's what qualifies them to be value stocks. In the growth funds, you're going to find Facebook and Google and Amazon and Netflix and the like, Apple, and they're much higher PE ratios overall. So Exxon currently has a relative strength of 97, all right? It's outperforming 97% of the stocks in the market right now, and its PE ratio is 14. And it's probably one of the most hated stocks in the world, Barry, especially by
Facebook?
The climate. No, Exxon.
Well, yeah, them too.
Facebook's probably number one. Google's right up there. But ExxonMobil definitely is. It's like a tobacco stock back in the 70s or whatever. But, they're in a sweet spot right now because the transition is taking place. But there's time in between the transition and the price of the commodity that they produce continues to go higher. And, the circumstances in Russia only help that situation. So yesterday was just unbelievable. In fact, the oil and gas sector yesterday was up 3.6%. It's by far the leading sector here so far in 2022. The energy ETFs, without question. In fact, the Vanguard Energy ETF was up 18.7 for the month, okay? 18.7 for the month. I think that says it all. The NASDAQ was down, at one point it was down about 14% for the month, and the oil sector was up 18.7% for the month. So there's a huge difference, okay? And then this article in Seeking Alpha goes on to, you know, kind of delineate growth ETFs from value ETFs. And I can't remember the last time that value was favored. Well, you go back to the 2005, 2006 after the tech wreck, and value stocks did lead the way. But guess, you know, just like we had the tech wreck in 2000, guess who had their comeuppance in 2007, 2008, Barry? It was the value stocks that just got clobbered because many of them were in that financial sector where you had that meltdown.
Yep, insurance companies, you know, AIG, you know, the whole debacle from that perspective. And you had a lot of lawsuits during that time frame too that started with some of your older economy names that finally caught up, whether it was class action suits, you know, even big tobacco, right? I mean, those were considered for a long time, right? Your defensive names, right? You mean in times of crisis, right? You purchase utilities, tobacco stocks, right?
Got crushed.
Procter & Gamble.
That's why I like being unconstrained. There's times to be a value investor. I understand value investing. I studied it for years, had some very good mentors. And there's times to be a growth investor, and I had some excellent mentors in that momentum. Look at this. The NASDAQ has almost given up all of its gains. It's only up 27 points despite those big beats by AMD and NVIDIA. Okay, I don't know if you saw this. This must be non-farm payrolls week, is it? Is Friday the non-farm payrolls report?
Yep, we do. Yeah, we've got payrolls coming through. Of course, you know, it's already been noted that probably doesn't matter just because of the Omicron noise, right? But
yeah,
because next week we've got CPI week, right? Inflation week. So that's what's really going to matter. But we do have those numbers coming out later on this week.
This ADP, the private payrolls report that came out today, we lost 300,000 jobs. When's the last time you saw a loss? Now, I know it's Omicron and all this and that, but I haven't seen a loss of jobs. Well, I mean, you got to go back to right there, you know, during COVID. But the problem is the consensus was for 225,000 plus, and it was down 301,000. I haven't seen a good jobs report for a long time, and that's kind of troublesome. And we've been seeing a narrowing. I haven't looked at it so far where that yield curve is, but last week it narrowed considerably. There's still plenty of jobs out there.
It's flattened a bit more today as well, actually, at least this morning.
Everywhere I look, there's help wanted. So, I mean, we're not going to have a big soaring unemployment rate. That's for sure. Now, this is in the Seeking Alpha today. This is a milestone. How much is too much? U.S. national debt hits $30 trillion for the first time, according to the latest figures from the Treasury Department. The record amount of red ink and gloomy fiscal milestone are adding to worries about the long-term economic health of the country, which is grappling with red-hot inflation and a higher interest rate environment, which can make servicing the debt even more challenging. All right. There's something to brighten your day, right?
And okay. You know, on the flip side of that, I heard that debt to GDP ratio actually improved. So it's a wild mix of numbers.
Okay, when we come back, oh man, I got a lot to cover here. When we get back, there's some mergers. There's all kinds of things taking place in this active world. This is Bill Gunderson of Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We're making major progress on the Best Stocks Now app, which was taken down 3 weeks ago, something like that. We have it on our a new server at a very secure company. We've got the new code up there. We're picking through it. And I'm going to be adding a lot of features to the new app. It's going to be much more powerful. And in the meantime, any subscribers to the app right now, they're getting all my messages throughout the day that I send out. And they're getting the premier newsletter on the weekends. So not a bad deal. I think they're hoping that the app doesn't come back up, Barry, because for $8.99 or $9.99 a month, they're getting quite a bit. But, you know, I think I'm going to continue sending out the generic kind of market messages. They're not generic. I mean, they're my observations. I got up this morning. I was down in the office at 5:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I got a chance to look at all the news since yesterday. And I said to myself, you know, I know that AMD had these big reports, and I know that Google had this big report. I'm just not that excited about the overall NASDAQ. The NASDAQ's about ready to go negative here. It's up 40 cents right now. It was up 150 right now. I just don't have much appetite at all for P.E. ratios that are, you know, in the stratosphere, let alone even in the 40 to 50 range. In this environment. So anyways, that's just me. I have plenty of people that disagree with me. That's fine. That's what makes it a market. But, you know, in my 22 years of this, I know what impact interest rates have on P.E. ratios, and it's not good. Cyber attack on German oil infrastructure forces Shell to reroute. Okay, so this is another issue with the oil and the energy supply. You've got that pipeline from Russia into Europe with natural gas that Putin is playing with. I see he upped the pressure a little, or he upped the flow of natural gas a little bit. But right now, Germany seems to be kind of in his targets. He's not happy with Germany. And I don't know, anytime I see cyber attack, ransomware, we had that similar, remember the Colonial Pipeline on the East Coast got hit?
Right.
And the FBI oversaw the payment of 75 bitcoins in exchange for an IT tool to restore the system. 64 coins were eventually seized by the FBI, but, you know, this is probably some kind of a ransomware thing, so... It's a mad, mad world right now. The World Health Organization is telling us that the Omicron subvariant, BA2, is not more severe than the original variant. That's good news. So Omicron has morphed into something else, and of course the vaccine did not stop Omicron for the most part, but it was very mild, it would seem, Omicron, and this new one seems to be more transmissible, just like Omicron was, more transmissible than Delta, but not anywhere near as severe as the original COVID or the Delta. Spotify. Okay, let's look in on Spotify. They've had plenty of controversy surrounding them. Yeah, Neil Young's favorite stock. It's not in Neil's portfolio or Joni Mitchell or Nils Lofgren, but Spotify, I just wanted to mention Spotify. This is a big one. It's a big holding at ARK Funds. It's the very definition of a long-duration stock. They've never made a profit. They're hoping maybe next year to eke out a small profit. And here's a stock that's gone from 305 down to 190. Has a very low relative strength. It's weak, and it has no P.E. ratio because it doesn't have an E. It has no earnings. And the only reason I bring up Spotify here is to give you an example of the other side of the coin. We just mentioned a low P.E., boring stock with an extremely high relative strength. And here's a very low price to earnings, or very high price to sales. There are no earnings, but I imagine the price to sales ratio is sky high. The forward PE on Spotify is about 400. Yeah, 400. And the relative strength is weak. These are the kind of stocks you want to run from. That's just me. You go where you want to go. You do what you want to do. That's just me. I've seen this picture before. I thought this was a weird one. I grew up, Barry, about 2 miles from SeaWorld in San Diego. I mean, literally, on Saturdays, I could hear the seal show or the dolphin show and the commentator and the people clapping and everything like that. And a lot of my friends in high school worked for SeaWorld during the summer and whatnot. SeaWorld's going to buy, they're trying to buy Cedar Fair, which is, you know, Knott's Berry Farm and a lot of these big amusement parks. That's quite, I think SeaWorld probably, you know, they had a lot of bad press, Blackfish and the whales and picketers and PETA. We used to see them, you know, there in the San Diego
area.
Yeah,
they're trying to they're certainly trying to, they've been trying to reinvent themselves over an extended period of time at this point, ever since, what is it, Blackfish? Right?
Yes, Blackfish.
Yep.
So they have offered quite a premium for Cedar Fair. We'll see how that works out, but I'm sure Cedar Fair is certainly willing to listen at that price, and that would definitely totally remake SeaWorld. All right, Marathon Petroleum beats by a mile, adds to buyback. Okay, so you had three stocks that beat by a mile here today. Two of them are very high P.E. stocks. Marathon is another example. Its forward P.E. ratio is 9.5, okay? 9.5 forward P.E. of Marathon Oil. Well, the relative strength is as high as it gets, 99. Now, Barry, if this was the year 2019, we'd have looked at a stock like Marathon Oil and ran from it. Why go for Marathon Oil when all these stocks are taking off, you know, to the upside in the spec tech space? Well, that was then, this is now. Who has the high relative strength today? Marathon Oil, which also pays a dividend yield, 1.1% out of Houston, Texas, engaged in oil and gas exploration and production, oil sand mining, and integrated gas services worldwide. Hit a new all-time high. No, 52-week high. 52-week high yesterday. Relative strength of 99. Let's see what else. Oh, this is a very interesting story. Another impact, Russia. Guess where a lot of potash comes from? It comes from Belarus, which isn't too far from Ukraine.
And they're getting troops. They're getting close to, I think they're getting close to 20,000 troops there.
Belarus has its own problems.
With Russia, yeah.
Yeah, they have a strong man that the people don't like there in Belarus at all. Fertilizer names surge near 52-week highs. This was yesterday, as prices for several retail fertilizers continue to hit all-time highs, and the Lithuanian government halts the use of its railway to Belarus to export potash fertilizer to Europe and beyond. Okay, so those two countries are having a squabble, Lithuania and Belarus. And Belarus provides a lot of potash fertilizer to Europe. You just wonder. I mean, I worry about food shortages. I'm seeing the prices of soybeans just soaring right now. I know that sounds draconian,
yeah.
But
domestically, in our neck of the woods, just north of us, in Winston-Salem, they actually had a fertilizer manufacturing area that was, you know, has a fire, which, of course, we know that stuff is very explosive and or flammable, and so they had to essentially evacuated at least a mile radius that I saw of the town surrounding it, and so another potential supply constraint, right? I don't know how much fertilizer that factory cranks out every year, but hey, like you said, we're on it. Whether you want to call us fertilizer specialist or you want to insert some other word, that's what, you know, we're covering the whole gamut here.
Yeah,
here.
Some have even renamed the show, our listeners, the Fertilizer Show with Bill and Barry. But you know what? I read that could have been the biggest explosion. I don't know how you measure this, but ever in the United States, up just north of us in North Carolina. But here's the bottom line. Belarus is diverting potash shipments from Lithuania. Now they're going to use Russia. See, Belarus is in bed with Russia, and Lithuania is mad. But anyways, this is sending fertilizer prices to the moon. Alice, we'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. But I'll tell you, the market is just all over the place. It's frenetic type action. Now the NASDAQ's up 60. Here's a couple of charts. Look at the chart Boyle. B-O-I-L. Boyle. That is natural gas 2x. What is going on today? That thing is up 20.3%. You'll have to look underneath after the show for the news there. It's got to have something to do with Putin or an approaching cold front. But Boyle ETF up, that's the biggest winner in the market today, up 20.3%. And you can look at the one-time natural gas, which is UNG. It's up 10. Natural gas prices up 10.6. Barry, that's not good for inflation, okay?
No, that's what you're seeing in the ECB today with they haven't dove into those numbers, but I saw the headline number.
Wow.
You know, 5 or 5.1%. I think it's the highest ever. I mean, it's, and they're in such a low rate environment already, right? And they've been the ones. They're in a very particular, interesting situation where, they were the last ones to kind of come out of 08-09, right? You had the whole BRICS falling apart. Now, they're facing an environment where they have, high inflation, very low interest rates, and, they're
still printing money.
Economic GDP. Well, in their GDP, they're still, they're behind us. China, right, in terms of, if you had to gauge the recovery, I'd say, we're coming out the best, then essentially China, right, and then, the ECB is kind of a distant third. So they're kind of in a very precarious position. And
that was the word that came to mind, precarious. Yep. Great minds think alike. Okay, here's another one, BCC, Boise Cascade, manufactures and distributes wood products and building materials. I don't know if this has anything to do with the truck drivers in Canada. I don't know. Or just a shortage. Boy, I remember following Boise Cascade many years ago. I remember when lumber prices started going up, at Home Depot and Lowe's. But Boise Cascade has gone from $40 a share to $81 a share. Now here's your combination of high relative strength, 97, and low PE. PE is 5, and the stock is breaking out to a new 52-week high today. In fact, that's an all-time high on Boise Cascade. There's going to be a wood shortage, it looks like. hello, what else is there going to be a shortage of? Okay, and then the third one here, I'm going to do four today. Micron, you know, as people say, how about, can you own any tech at all? Well, Micron is up there in Boise, too. Same city as Boise Cascade. It's got a relative strength of 79, not fantastic, but it has a PE of 11. So there are still some low PE tech stocks, okay? And if you got to have tech, you know, look for low PE. That's what I – and then the last one I'm going to mention here, we had – I use the terminology that the garbage pail caught fire on Friday and Monday, which it did. I mean, all of these stocks that were so hot in 2019 get a 2-day rally. I said, I'm not buying it. It's suspect. It looks like short covering to me. Well, today, SARC, which is inverse ARC, is up 4.5%, Barry. So that explosion you heard, it was, I think, the garbage pail full of fertilizer stock. In this environment, okay, yes, they're transformational. They may change the world. We may all be driving cars driven by the sun someday. But they're long duration stocks in a rising interest rate environment. I love people that I love a good debate. I get a lot of people that disagree, say, oh, you should be buying this dip, and, you know, and they go on and on with all these Coinbase and all this kind of stuff. I respectfully disagree. That's what makes the market, okay? And I would rather be short that part of the market. So there you go. I gave we talked about Micron, an example of a low PE tech stock. You know, they make memory flash, which isn't high tech. It's not NVIDIA by any means, but it is good. We mentioned Boyle, which that's the biggest move in natural gas I think I've ever seen in one day. And I really don't know what's underneath it. I'll find out here once the show is over. I mentioned Boise Cascade, where that's directly related to lumber, materials to build homes. I don't know if it has something to do. I mean, that is up there near that Canadian border. I'm sure plenty of lumber comes from British Columbia in that area. I don't know what it's all about, but BCC, I just know that the stock is flying. PE ratio of 5, relative strength of 97. And then we talked about SARC, which has made quite a name for itself. Tuttle ETF, which is 1-to-1 inverse the ARC fund. All right, well, this has been a lot of fun. We'll have to come back and do this again tomorrow. I looked at a lot of stocks this morning. I'm going to look at a heck of a lot. And if I see something that that I like, I have several on my buy list, but they got to be just right. You know, it's got to be just right. And who knows, I may pull the trigger on a few things here today. We'll see. Pardon the terminology. That means pushing the button on the buy side of the button there. And if I see something I really like, then I send that message out to all of our, you know, live trading subscribers, too. Well, you can get the newsletter this week. It's going to be interesting to see where those earnings estimates have gone for next year and the year following. And it's also going to be interesting to see where that yield curve has gone, which last week, I mean, it collapsed. Let's see if it can get some footing here or if it continues to head towards an inverted yield curve. It was, what, 65 basis points above that last week? That's the narrowest one we've had in months. And, of course, when that yield curve is pointing down, the 2-year and the 10-year, that's an indicator that, you know, the expectations of a recession are rising. Doesn't mean we'll have one, but it's an indicator, all right? So you can reach us, get a portfolio review, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.